Hey guys, welcome back to Trivial Warfare. My name is Jonathan. I am here with my friend Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Jonathan. How's it going today?
Doing pretty good. And we also have Ben back for another round.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Lamb Chop. How are you?
I deserve that. That's fair. That's very
yeah,
fair.
So actually, Ben wasn't intended to be here this week. Vacations are in full swing, and it's hard to get a hold of people. So yesterday, we were at a party with Ben, and he was like, I'll do it again. I was like, sweet. Thank goodness.
We really appreciate it, man.
No problem. So, thank my wife for letting me come today.
Tanisha, right?
Tashina.
She switched the SH and the N now. That ain't right.
I was just going to say, thank you, Mrs. Ben's wife.
thank you, Tashina.
That works just as well.
So, last weekend was the 4th of July.
It was. Oh, yeah.
So, I had the day off.
Very nice.
On
Congrats.
That Friday. And I thought, you know what, Sebastian, my son is 2.5. He'll probably enjoy fireworks. We'll make a spectacle out of it. And so I'm going to take him to go see fireworks, right?
Oh, boy. Just to let everybody know, if he's telling this story, that means something horribly went wrong. Because if everything went off without a hitch, you would not be hearing this story at all.
So I picked out my place. I realized, hey, down near the downtown office of my company, there's a parking garage that's open at the top. And so I can just go up to the top of that garage, park the car, pull out a chair, let Sebastian run around, and watch the fireworks. Brilliant plan, right? So, and you know, if you have two-year-olds, that it's a little bit of an effort to get them out the door. And so I did all the steps, had my diaper bag, had snacks, had drinks, had all that stuff you need to have, and got him in the car. He kind of fell asleep on the way there, but woke him up. Couple of minutes before things started, and I posted a picture on Facebook and said, this is my view for the fireworks. And then a couple minutes later, I checked, and somebody had responded and said, oh, are they having them on both nights? And then I realized...
Oh, no.
Then I realized...
Oh, no.
I had the day off today, but it was the 3rd.
Oh, no.
Not the 4th.
Oh, no.
So I went through all of that effort, got my butt into dad mode, and got everything done to get out the door, ended it in the garage.
And you were 24 hours early.
And I was 24 hours and 10 minutes
Jonathan.
Early.
Sweet.
Oh, my God.
Man. Epic dad fail.
Oh, my God.
Epic dad fail.
It was just like, I immediately deleted the picture and drove back home with my tail between my legs.
Your heart was in the right place. So props to you. You get dad points for that. But
thank you.
Did you go back on the 4th of July?
I did. We had family in town. We have some of our cousins are going to be stationed in Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
And this is their last trip through Jacksonville before going out to Hawaii. So they were in town with their 4 kids. And so I met up with my stepmother and them and a few other family members, and I took them all up to the garage where we found a security guard who was keeping people out because it was the 4th of July.
Oh, no.
So I convinced the security guard that I worked in the building, which is partially true. I've been in the building, and my company is in the building, but I don't work in the building. But he was amicable. He was like, oh, yeah, you're training Larry, right? I'm like, that's it. I'm training Larry. So he's like, so you're cool. Just park on the 2nd floor and you can walk to the Riverwalk and see the stuff there. And so I said, but I got a couple of cars coming in behind me in about 2 minutes. He's like, well, what's your name? So my name is Jonathan. It's like, all right, well, just tell them to say that you're with Jonathan and I'll let him in. So I got everybody into the garage and we walked. It's only like a football field, less than a football field away from the Riverwalk.
Fabulous.
And so we watched the fireworks on the Riverwalk with the family.
Very
that's
nice.
Awesome.
So, and how did Sebastian react to him?
He, at first, was a little shy, and then I started doing sound effects for him. So I was like, Sebastian, look, boom! And after a minute, he starts saying, boom!
Oh, that's adorable.
So he loved it.
Awesome. Sweet. Congrats. So definite dad win there.
It worked out in the end.
You got the dad points and the dad win.
Yeah, you said it. All right, well, let's go ahead and warm it up, Chris.
What up, Chris?
I'm about to.
What up, Chris?
That's what I was born into.
All right. Gentlemen, I am going rogue on these next couple of episodes of Warming Up, Chris. We have now officially cycled through the book that I usually pull out for the Warming Up, Chris questions.
We don't have the T-Rex book anymore?
We do not have the Trex book any longer. That's correct. However, fabulous read for anybody that wants to, and hopefully they're going to make a sequel, because I'd love to see a sequel to that book. That's fantastic.
So we should go ahead and, if you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to previous episodes, and you'll hear the book referenced.
Absolutely. It's called Mental Floss Split Decisions. It's just a fun book. So,
there you go.
All right, guys. We're all fans of animated movies. I know I definitely am.
I like the pictures.
Excellent. How about you, Ben?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Especially being a dad, I imagine you're like watching things at nauseam now, animated-wise.
You're starting to wash over me.
All right. Well, I went on to the Rotten Tomatoes website, and I was looking up the highest-rated animated movies of all time.
Oh.
And so I have the top 10.
Wow.
Meaning that they're very, very highly rated. So I want you guys to name as many of in the top 10 as you possibly can.
So animated movies, this would include like
Shrek.
Pixar. And
absolutely.
All that stuff.
Yep.
Okay.
Pixar, DreamWorks, Disney, Fox Animated Studios.
So these are full feature length films.
That's correct. Gotcha. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think Steamboat Willie's on there?
And I will say this, no, it is not.
Oh.
Maybe a little bit of a stretch. These are all, and honestly, most of these movies, as a matter of fact, have come out within the last 10 years. How's that?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because I was definitely going to say Lion King and Aladdin, but
yeah, Lion King's
got to be on there.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So Lion King, Frozen, Shrek.
You are 0 for 3 right now, my friend.
What?
Oh,
seriously?
That's why I don't like these rating systems, because these people don't know what the heck they're talking about.
Well, you also got to remember, though, Rotten Tomatoes isn't just critics, but it's also viewers. And so you have different, you have dumb people watching it, then just look the heck out.
Like he said, these people don't know what they're talking about.
I was Lion King not one of the top 10 rated animated
films? I take that back. I'm sorry. I was wrong. There is one animated movie that was back in the 1950s that is on this list.
Oh, my God.
1950s?
So, yes.
I'm thinking maybe Bambi.
I was just thinking
Cinderella,
Bambi. That's around the time for Bambi.
Actually, Bambi was in the 40s. It was shortly after Snow White.
Like I said, no way it's Bambi.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm going to say Frozen's got to be on there.
Frozen is. Nope. You guys were 0 for 3. He said Lion King, Aladdin, and Frozen, and that was 0 for 3.
And you said Shrek is not on the list?
Shrek is not on the list.
What the heck kind of list is this?
It's from the Rotten Tomatoes website. So
Toy Story.
Toy Story is the number one rated movie at 100% freshness rating.
100%?
100%.
That's tied for the best all time.
Yes, it is. With several movies.
By definition.
All right. Ben, what is your selection?
So this is one of those moments where you didn't have a backup guess.
And go Toy Story 2. Toy Story 2.
I'll go Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2 is tied for first place with 100% freshness rating.
Oh, these people are obvious. I'm going to go with Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3 is the third rated at 99% highest.
You're
rate.
Sheep, America. You are sheep.
All right. So, Ben, your next one. So far, you guys are doing well.
I'm going to go with, I know there's got to be a Disney movie on there. So based on the ones we've already said, now I can't think of any Disney movies. Great. I'm going to go with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
I am sorry, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is not on there. Jonathan Oakes.
Brave.
Brave is not on there. Actually, Brave was really kind of deadpanned by critics.
I loved Brave.
I thought so, too. And I loved the ending of it, because the ending was just really well done.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, so Ben, your next selection.
I'm going to Pixar, dude.
You know what? This is a shot in the dark. I'm going to go with The Incredibles.
The Incredibles is the number 7 rated.
Good job.
At 97% freshness.
Wow. Honey, where is my super suit? Why do you want to know?
We already did that one, but I loved that.
It was great.
Frozone.
Cars.
Cars is not on there. Actually, Cars was very deadpanned also.
I didn't like Cars that much, frankly.
And then
but
the second one was awful. The second one was really bad.
Now, the Mater shorts that they do on Disney Junior, those are pretty good.
They make me laugh. Yeah. I will say that. I'll tell you what. What?
What?
I'm going to go with Despicable Me.
Despicable Me is not on the list. I was really surprised.
Dude, we're getting hosed here. Holy moly. Okay,
right.
So like, let's do one more guess each.
Sounds good.
There's probably a couple of franchises that we're missing. I'm going to say Shrek 2.
Shrek 2 is not on the list.
All right, that's why, man.
All right, Ben, your last choice before I go.
So I'm trying to think of animated movies that were not kid movies.
And yeah, good idea.
I'm thinking
Cool World.
I can't think of any now. I know that's.
Oh, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Let's go with that. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Actually, that's not considered an animated movie. That's it's a not? Live action. No,
boo.
Live action comedy. A couple of these you're going to kick yourself at. I will tell you that.
I'm going to go.
Please, Eddie.
Yeah.
That was really good. That was well done.
That was quite wonderful. I can't think of anything. I'm going to go with Aeon Flux. I don't know.
Wow.
TV shows are not listed on here.
They made a movie.
They did. But
Charlize Theron.
Yes, it was a live action movie. So anyway, so you got the first three, which was Toy Story 1, 2, and 3. Tied for third place at 99% is Finding Nemo.
Oh, yeah. That's a great movie.
Tied for fifth, Up at 98%.
Okay.
Did you see Up? Because Up was wonderful.
I did see Up.
If Up does not make you tear up a little bit.
I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't say it was wonderful.
Well, again, this is the freshness rating part of it.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
All right. The one that was not within the last 10 years is also tied for fifth, 101 Dalmatians at 98%.
Okay.
Tied for seventh, The Incredibles, like you guys mentioned. And then another movie that you guys might not have heard of, Chicken Run.
I've seen that.
That's in the top 10?
That was. Actually, that was a very highly rated movie when it came out.
I mean, I liked it. That was obscure. I wouldn't think that would make it. But.
Well, also, one of the last Mel Gibson movies that was made before he got into a whole mess of trouble. So.
Nice.
All right. The last ones on the list, tied for ninth, The Lego Movie.
Okay.
Which was
wonderful. Yeah, I didn't see that.
And then finally, the last one on there, Monsters, Inc. at 96%.
Oh, we should have thought of Monsters, Inc.
You know, looking at that list of movies, I'm beginning to see that there's a political trend to these Rotten Tomatoes ratings.
Oh,
almost all of these movies have some type of underlying, like, complex storyline or political slant to them.
That's Pixar in general. But you know what's interesting? Because the one that's the most like that isn't on that list, that now I'm shocked by, WALL-E.
Happy Feet.
How is WALL-E not on that list?
I loved WALL-E.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
So, I mean, personally, and I don't have a best top five like thought out, but I wouldn't hesitate to say that my top five favorite animated movies were not on that list.
Mm.
Lion King, Aladdin, Shrek, WALL-E. And I could pick one more that wasn't on that list and say it was my favorite because those four... Those are my top four.
Well, Beauty and the Beast, too, shocked me that it wasn't on there because I know it's not everybody's favorite, but it was nominated for Best Picture in Academy Awards for that year.
Yeah, and Frozen. That would be number five for me. Rotten Tomatoes, I just lost some respect for your ratings.
I'm going to totally ignore all their ratings from moving.
I might have to. Yeah.
Hey, Jonathan, let it go.
Well played, Chris. All well right. played. All right, so that was Warm It Up, Chris. Good job, my friend. I think we're ready to get this thing kicked off. What do you think? You ready?
How you feeling, Ben? You ready for us?
I'm ready.
All right, so before we start, let's let people know that we are playing our normal game with six rounds, three questions each. Each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint with four possible answers worth 5 points each, and a final that will let us wager any or all of the points we've earned. The other thing that you need to know is that we don't have an official prepared set of questions today. So the questions that we're using for the primary rounds are coming directly out of a book, and we want to give the book credit. So, Ben, could you read the name of the book and the author, please?
Absolutely. It's The Ultimate Trivial Pursuit Question and Answer Book. This was...
If it doesn't have an author, give me the publisher.
Yeah, the publisher is Puzzle Wright Press, WRIGHT, Puzzle Wright Press.
Okay, Puzzle Wright Press, who also does the Mental Floss books, too.
So a lot of credit to those guys. We're using the questions from that book. We love these books. They did a great job with this. I picked this one out at the store out of a section of about 20 books because I flipped through it and read a bunch of it, and I thought it looked great.
Well, and also, Trivial Pursuit's one of our favorite games. I mean, that's something that Jonathan and I try to just pummel each other with before we started this podcast, or before he started this podcast, so...
Props to Trivial Pursuit, and let's go ahead and get rolling.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
All right. So round one, your first question is in the category of geography.
Okay.
All right.
The question is, what cheese is served with a classic Greek salad?
Okay, can I think you we say can it? Say it together. 3, 2, 1. Feta.
Feta is correct.
When I was a kid, I had my front two teeth knocked out.
Oh.
And my mom likes to tell stories that kind of pick on me for how I talked when I didn't have my front teeth. And one of her favorites is that after I'd been playing outside in the hot Georgia sun for hours and hours, I came in and I was rubbing myself and I was telling her, I'm all hot and fetty.
Awesome. You know what, Jonathan? That was a good a story. Very Gouda.
A Gouda story?
Yes.
Wow. All right. The second question in round one is in entertainment.
Excellent.
All right.
What band rewrote their Shiny Happy People so it became Furry Happy Monsters when they appeared on Sesame Street?
Awesome.
3, 2, 1. R.E.M.
That is correct.
Nice. I didn't realize that. That's really cool.
Furry Happy Monsters holding hands.
Furry Happy.
Oh, anyway. I loved R.E.M. back in the, I mean, like 90, 91, 92, 93. That was like when that came out. And then that's when I first discovered R.E.M. listening to them. And then went back and listened to Green and listened to, I mean, I got Eponymous, which was their greatest hits album that had Radio Free Europe. Oh, for me, that was like when I finally started branching out from what my parents listened to that kind of brought it on to me to what I started listening to. And so it was like R.E.M. and Pearl Jam and Beastie Boys. And it was no longer the Jimmy Buffetts and the Jim Croce's and the what
they
the
don't
Bowie
like
brothers.
Jim Croce.
I'm not, but it was just, but that was what my parents listened to, was what was instilled into me, and so I listened to it. And it wasn't until that REM Pearl Jam stuff, and then later on Nirvana, that I kind of made my own musical identity.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we both got 10 points on that one.
And your final question in round one is history.
Okay.
Where is the land of steady habits?
I don't even know if I understand the question.
No,
can you read the question again?
Yes. Where is the land of steady habits?
I don't know if I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I know the land of confusion.
The land of steady habits. It sounds...
Yeah, I honestly, if I had a white towel, I'd throw it in right now because I have no idea. And this is a history question?
It is.
So what I'm thinking is that steady habits or land of steady habits must be the English translation to a country name. And it must be... I'm thinking it might be a previously existing country name that may not exist anymore, which was why it would fall under a history question.
Sure, that makes sense. Okay.
So I'm trying to think of countries that no longer exist. That's as far as I've gotten so far with this.
Okay. What does your game theory tell you about this?
It has nothing. My spidey sense is not tingling.
Aw. Ba-da-ba-da-ba.
I'm going to say the Ottoman Empire.
And I'm just going to say China.
The correct answer is Connecticut.
Oh, it must be their slogan.
I guess it is.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, Connecticut. So I don't know.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Here he goes again.
That's my wife's birthplace, by the way.
Oh, yes. Remember that, Jonathan. His wife's birthplace.
Hey, I just want to say, I don't know if we have listeners in Connecticut or not.
We have
listeners in most of the states, but could you write in trivialwarfare@gmail.com and let me know if any of you knew that? Is that something they teach you guys? Because it's certainly not anything they teach us.
Okay, I really thought you were going to do some like nasty New England standard that you usually
I have no problem with Connecticut.
Okay, just Massachusetts?
Just Massachusetts. All right. And we have a bunch of listeners in Massachusetts. Apparently it doesn't bother them.
All right, well, at least if we whiff, at least both of us whiffs on that one.
All right, so after the first round, it is 20 to 20.
All right.
So, starting the second round, your first question is arts and literature.
All right.
I like how he says literature. That was well said.
It's really a throwback to Bernie Mac in, I think it was Ocean's 13.
Oh, yeah?
there is a scene in, this is the one where Al Pacino played the bad guy. He played Mr. Bank, and they were trying to take him down.
His name was Mr. Bank?
Yeah, his last name was Bank.
That's such a Monopoly name.
It is. And Bernie Mac was playing, he was trying to introduce a new game into the casino. It was like a dominoes poker type game. And Banks came by and said, well, send me some of your literature and I'll see if I do. He was like, we don't have time for no literature. So every time I see that word, I think about literature. The scene from that movie.
Oh, that's great stuff, man.
Yep. So the question is arts and literature. And the question is, what musical features Edelweiss, the last song Oscar Hammerstein II wrote before his death?
Edelweiss?
Edelweiss. That's the German pronunciation. Edelweiss.
Das Boot.
Edelweiss.
You wrote it down?
I've written an answer down.
Okay, that's interesting. Because, I mean, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Oklahoma.
Where the wind goes sweeping down the plain.
I mean,
I've never heard that song, so I just made that part up. I hope it sounded good.
No, that's very close. I thought it was dead on, actually. So if not, you faked it well.
Woo!
Man, and he just did the Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Oh! I mean, if you know what Hacksaw did, that's what Jonathan just did.
All he was missing was a 2x4.
Serious, man.
And blue tights.
Yes.
So how confident are you feeling about this one, Jonathan?
I'm using game theory.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. I mean, because the thing that stinks is I really don't know. Musicals are not my strong point. I mean, I know a little bit more current musicals than anything else. So I'm going to say Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Okay, so I'm not good with composers at all, so I didn't try to go by composer. I thought about the word was German, and so then I thought, okay, well, all the German stuff I know is Wagner, except for, I believe, Fiddler on the Roof was set in Germany about Jewish people, so I've said Fiddler on the Roof.
The correct answer is The Sound of Music.
Oh, of course!
Another German, another German focused one.
Dadgummit.
Man, I've never heard the name of the song. I've seen The Sound of Music.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it several times myself. I saw the Carrie Underwood version of it just a couple years ago. But
I had a crush on Julie Andrews. Growing up, Mary Poppins was my favorite movie, man. Julie Andrews was hot.
I know. I love Sherry Poppins. you don't know. Do you know what Sherry Poppins is, Jonathan?
Is it The Simpsons?
Yeah. The Simpsons did a Mary Poppins centric episode, but named it Sherry Poppins. And it was just great because at the very last part of the episode, she's floating up in the umbrella, and this airplane comes by, and the jet engine of the airplane just sucks her in. And all you see is just. And that was how the episode ended.
Goodbye, Sherry Poppins.
Thanks for everything.
So long, Superman.
Do you think we'll ever see her again?
I'm sure we will, honey. I'm sure we will.
Sherry Bobbins.
All right, so your second question in the second round is in the category science and nature.
Science!
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 What sign of the zodiac is the first air sign of the calendar year?
Wow, that's tricky.
Tricky.
Here we go. It's tricky. Rock a ride, rock a ride. That's right on time. It's tricky.
Yeah. That's two white guys trying to do Run DMC. That's just bad.
Hey, that was good.
No, that was terrible.
Whatever.
All right. You're the host. Ben, what do you think? Good or bad?
That was okay.
It's tricky to rock a ride, to rock a ride. That's right on time. It's tricky. It's tricky. 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 Tricky.
It was acceptable.
All right.
It was better than the Bloodhound Gang's version.
I give that a 72% on the Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, at least he didn't go Charles Barkley on us. That was horrible.
Oh, okay.
35, 45, 55.
Okay, Hold on, read the question again.
Now that we've gone completely off on a tangent.
What sign of the zodiac is the first air sign of the calendar year?
You said air sign, right?
Yes.
All right, so I'm halfway through listing them out, right?
Of course he is.
That's the way I think. I'm sorry.
Sure.
So the pattern goes fire, earth, air, water, and it repeats.
So it's like The Last Airbender.
Okay. I've never seen that, but maybe it is.
You've never seen the TV show?
Is that they do elemental stuff?
Yes.
April 20th-ish starts with Aries, right? And I'm trying to work backwards, but I couldn't, so I got to go forwards.
So Aries...
No, actually, Aries is a fire sign.
Oh, okay.
So Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, and then it restarts another fire, earth, air, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio. And then so I need, after Scorpio, fire would be Sagittarius. So Scorpio is until the near the end of November. Sagittarius runs, is a fire sign, runs into December. Then Capricorn is an earth sign and runs through the beginning of the year. And I think the only two left, see, I feel like I'm messing up here. I think the only two left are Aquarius and Pisces. Aries must start in March for this to work. All right, anyway, I'm going to go with Aquarius. That's a long-winded way to get to my answer of Aquarius.
Okay, my answer was Gemini.
The correct answer is Aquarius.
Nice. Woo. Good job, man.
You know what's really tricky about that question? Aquarius.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like water, doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah.
It's not a water sign.
Yeah, and I know that I knew Pisces was the water sign because I'm a Pisces.
Exactly. I'm a Scorpio, and so I use the water signs, Cancer, Scorpio. When I'm trying to remember the signs, I use those as my anchors, Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. I know where those are located, and right. I fill in the gaps around them.
Well, I'll be honest. The only reason why I knew Pisces was a water one was because it's the shape of a fish.
Aquarius is the water bearer.
It's all jacked up is what you're telling me.
It is jacked up.
So your last question in the second round is in sports and leisure.
Sports.
Oh, this is Trivial Pursuit sports, though. This might not actually be a sports question.
Well, hence the leisure part.
Yeah, right.
Of it.
Leisure means anything that we want to cram in this category.
This is sports. It's sports.
That's actually all right. Correct.
All right. What reason has been given for retiring the current World Cup in 2038?
Because they used it to bribe somebody and now it doesn't belong to them anymore.
They sold it to the highest bidder.
Right.
I knew y'all would love this question for the reasons that you're giving me right now.
What's that guy's name?
Bladder.
Bladder. Sepp Bladder.
Sepp Bladder.
Sepp Bladder.
Yeah, by the way, his parents really hated him.
His parents hated themselves, man.
Yeah, right.
Our last name is Bladder.
Hi, I'm full. Sup, Sepp?
It's probably short for September or something like that.
Do you remember when it was like September? Anyway.
And you're messing with me for Land of Confusion? Nah, man.
But that is Earth, Wind, and Fire, which probably helped you get the last question. So it all comes full circle, baby.
It does, doesn't it? Okay, okay. So could you read the question again, please?
Yes. What reason has been given for retiring the current World Cup in 2038?
You probably don't have it, but I guess we're talking about a physical cup?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the trophy. It's honestly,
that's what I mean. Yes, yes.
The trophy's not a cup, but it's...
Okay, I get it.
Okay. It's not like the Stanley Cup, because Stanley Cup actually...
It's a cup.
You could pour. I mean, shoot. I mean, it's legendary, the stuff that people have done to that poor trophy.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, so drink beer out of it. And
More than that. Somebody bathed their child in it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
somebody just defecated in it.
I've heard that story,
I'm sure
too.
That happened.
And then they bathed their child in it.
Why would you do that?
To laugh at all the people who drink out of it afterwards.
Well, if you ever get a chance to read the book, The Big Show, Dan Patrick has a great story about when the New York Rangers won it.
Yeah.
And he showed up to this bar afterwards, and the whole Rangers team was there, and the Stanley Cup was there, and they were passing around, and people were drinking out of it. And Dan looks at Mark Messier and goes, "What's in it?" And he says, "If you're a real Rangers fan, you would not ask what's in it." And basically, he stared Dan Patrick down and made Dan Patrick drink out of that thing. And he said, "To this day, I still have no idea what was in that trophy."
All right. So you wrote down your answer?
Yeah. It's probably very wrong, but I wrote it down.
I'm betting you're thinking the same thing I am, though. The Stanley Cup is neat because they just add layers to it to keep going and adding the team's names on it. I'm betting that they've run out of space to put new names on this trophy, and that's why they're retiring it.
That's a really good answer, and I really wish I thought of that answer. I was going to say, because I think it's like the Stanley Cup, where you get that trophy. It's not like the NFL or the NBA trophies, where they make a new trophy and give it to you. I think it's they give that same trophy every 4 years to whichever country wins it. I was going to say it's because there's been too much damage already made to the trophy in the first place.
Oh,
But I like your answer a lot better. If I could go with it, that would be great.
Too late.
I know, right?
Well, the correct answer is the name plaque will be full.
Which nice.
Is what Jonathan says.
Yes.
Which is their fault for making the trophy of the biggest sports event in the world so dang small.
Well, they just need to add a layer.
Oh, they just need to make it like the Stanley Cup. You need to have a big honking trophy.
Well, no, that's the thing. The Stanley Cup gets bigger every so often because they add a layer for new names.
No. They don't. No, it doesn't get bigger. They actually take a layer off and then it goes into the NHL Hall of Fame.
Is that true?
Yeah. And so.
Are you sure?
I'm positive on it. They talked about it on this last Stanley Cup. They had like a little featurette on it.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they take like the layer off, move it up, and then the next one goes on the bottom.
I had this visual image that, like, in the year 2500, they were going to have to carry it with a forklift because there was too many layers on it. All right, so after two rounds, Chris, you got shut out in that round.
I really did.
It is 40 to 20.
So we're going to start round three.
Round three.
And the category for the first question is geography.
Okay.
Which Belgian city is one of the world's main centers for diamond dealing?
Waffles.
Mm. Waffles.
A city of waffles. Can you imagine? Leaning Tower of Waffles.
That's the kind of city I want to visit.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a jungle, the cake jungle that we had in a previous episode. If we could go from the waffle city to the cake jungle, buddy.
Be woo. Fantastic.
Mm.
All right, so say the question again.
Which Belgian city is one of the world's main centers for diamond dealing?
This is going to be really embarrassing because I don't know if I can think of any Belgian cities.
I don't think so. I don't think I can either.
Wait, I thought of one.
Okay.
I got one. I think this is in Belgium. I hope it is.
The answer is not Waffle City. I will help you out there.
Oh, crap. No, I'm good. I'm locked in.
Waffle City, Belgium.
The yes. Tourism, man, the tourism would be off the chain. Well, if they had a theme park, they should have a Waffle City section.
Oh,
that would make a ton of money.
It really would.
Because people would go there just to go buy something from Waffle City.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to botch this answer and just say I'm going to say it's Copenhagen.
Because
I think that's Denmark, but
I think it's Denmark, too. Yeah. I said Brussels.
Oh, I think you're right.
The correct answer is Antwerp.
Darn it.
Or not.
Okay, so now, is Brussels in Belgium?
I believe that is the capital, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, so don't feel bad. Okay, and it's all about me.
It's all about Jonathan.
But needless to say, neither of us got any points
it's
there.
It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about us.
So your second question in the third round is an entertainment.
Okay.
What puppeteer did Jim Henson credit as most responsible for the Muppets being funny?
Okay.
There's only one puppeteer that I know by name other than Jim Henson. And so it's got to be this guy. And he was the voice for a ton of characters. I'm going with Frank Oz.
Yeah. And that's what I wrote down too.
Correct answer is Frank Oz.
Nice.
He was also Yoda, wasn't he?
He was Yoda.
He was a real life character in the Blues Brothers.
Oh, that's right. That was fantastic.
He played one of the like paper pushers that wouldn't
at the very end
let them get something done. Yeah.
Well, and the other interesting part about Frank Oz, besides doing all those voices and everything, is that he directed a lot of really well-known movies.
Did he?
He did. He directed The Dark Crystal, The Muppets Take Manhattan, Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Wow.
What About Bob?
Terrific movie.
I hated that movie.
Oh, really? I love it.
I'm not a Bill Murray guy, though.
Oh, I am.
I'm totally not.
Bowfinger. Which is a very underrated movie.
Yeah, no, he fell off in those years.
I disagree. That movie was great.
What about Bob and Bowfinger? You went from, hey, I'm impressed by this list, to, boy, this is getting bad.
All right, so your last question in the third round is a history question.
Okay.
Who was the first left-hander to serve two terms as U.S. president?
Wow.
Oh, my. I have never paid attention to handedness in presidents. Huh. It's like, we can't elect him. He's a lefty.
All right, I'm gonna write down my guess. I have an idea. I think it's a bad idea, but it's an idea nonetheless.
Okay. For this to be a question at all makes me think it's not going to be one of the founding fathers. And then you hit a stretch of guys from Van Buren to Buchanan that didn't have two terms. So then you go to Lincoln, had two terms.
Well, barely kind two terms. Yeah, I was going to say, he got elected twice.
Grant, I believe, had two terms.
Did Teddy? Because I know he came in.
Teddy did have two terms. I'm going to go... I've been slowly crossing guys off as to what I think, and I've gotten up to World War One, and I think that's where I'm going to stop. I'm going to go with Woodrow Wilson.
All right. I actually said it was Tricky Dick, Richard Nixon.
Ah.
Okay. The correct answer is Bill Clinton.
Oh, wow. Wow. I was on the right path, just the wrong guy.
Another fun fact is, if I'm not mistaken, I think our current president is also left-handed.
Is he really?
I believe so. Because I'm left-handed, so I notice, you know, famous people who are left-handed.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, that's the end of the third round.
Man, I've limped, and I'm limping into halftime, man.
Well, neither one of us is doing great. It is 50 to 30.
I would say the book is winning right now.
I would say the book is winning, too. I have more than half of them right, but barely.
Yeah. I do not have half of them right.
After those first two questions, I thought we were going to breeze through this.
I know, right? I was like, man, maybe we shouldn't have done this book. It's going to be a pretty high-scoring game. Yeah, no.
All right, so hopefully you get kind of a breather with this midpoint question. The category is 80s TV.
Okay.
Chris is going to get a breather.
All right. On The Cosby Show, Heathcliff and Claire Huxtable were the proud parents of five children.
I did not know his name was Heathcliff.
You didn't know that?
I just thought it was Cliff.
Heathcliff, yeah, it was Heathcliff Huxtable. Yeah.
Huh.
Heathcliff and Claire Huxtable were the proud parents of five children. Name four of the five actors that played those children. So I want the actor's real name.
Wow. Oh, man. I thought he was going to ask the kids' names.
I'm going to struggle either way.
All right.
Even though I think one of them was Theo.
And we'll award two bonus points if you can name all five.
Does this count that little white kid they brought in at the end?
He was not one of their children.
All right.
No. I don't even remember there being a white kid at the end.
He was the neighbor.
There's always a white kid at the end.
You're thinking...
Every show.
No, you're thinking of... not the Partridge Family, but...
Family Ties
Brady Bunch. No, you're thinking Brady Bunch.
Yes, cousin Oliver. No, every show did it. It's a trope. What's sad is I'm trying to name Rudy, and I think I'm naming Claire.
I love watching Jonathan squirm. This is great.
And the funny thing is, I thought that this was an easy question, so apparently I was way off.
No, I
wasn't a big... I mean, I enjoyed The Cosby Show, but it wasn't, like, must-see TV for me. I've probably seen 20 episodes.
But Family Ties, he's watched the mess out of that junk. And growing
Yeah, oh yeah, those two were every week.
And that's shocking. How is it that you were so faithful of Family Ties when you didn't watch the show that came on right before it on the same night?
Interesting.
They were back-to-back shows.
Yeah, it's this little thing called Bedtime.
But Family Ties came on after The Cosby Show.
Oh, really?
Family Ties was at 8:30. Cosby Show was at 8 o'clock on Thursdays.
Yeah.
No idea. The thing that's frustrating, and you've already written yours down, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The thing that's frustrating is that this little girl has gone on. She's doing stuff now. She's a currently relevant B-list celebrity person.
She's been in a bunch of Tyler Perry's movies, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Oh! No, I'm messing. I didn't help.
I know. I knew that wasn't going to help you out one bit, dude. I knew it wasn't going to help you out at all. But that was good. That was good. His eyes kind of went buggy a little bit there. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
All right, I've got four answers written down. So I'll give you mine first, and that way you can pick on me and give the right answers, okay? I did remember Malcolm Jamal Warner. I know Lisa Bonet. She did some other stuff. I'm hoping that this was a child and not a cousin. I'm going to go with Raven Simone. And I said Rashida Davis, but I feel like that was the mom and not the kid. Is that the name of the mom?
Felisa Rashad was the mom.
Felisa Rashad was the mom.
Is there a Rashida Davis in there anywhere?
No. Not to my knowledge.
Is there a Rashida in there anywhere?
Well, I think you're thinking Rashad, maybe.
All right, so anyway, right. Those were mine.
So I could not remember Sandra's name to save my life, and that kind of stinks, because Denise was Lisa Bonet, and then Malcolm Jamal Warner. Tempest Bledsoe. Was Vanessa, and then Rudy was Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have that name in my head.
Yep, you got all four of those right.
Yeah, and what was Sandra's name? Because this is killing me.
I might mispronounce this, but it's Sabrina LeBeouf.
LeBeouf, yeah. Okay, I remember Sabrina.
Shia's older sister.
Nice.
Yes, that's correct.
Man.
Probably a half-sister.
So you get 20?
I get 20 and you get 10.
So who was Raven Simone in the show?
She was the cousin. She was
granddaughter.
No, she was Lisa Bonet's stepdaughter.
Stepdaughter. Yeah.
All right, so that was a big question for you, Chris. After midpoint, Jonathan has 60 and Chris has 50.
Nice.
60 all to right. 50. So really quick, I'm going to take a break from the game to tell you guys about something that's pretty important to me. Trivial Warfare recently became a sponsor of an event for, it's called Black Tie for Eli. And as a sponsor, it's not like this isn't an advertisement where somebody's paying us to talk for them. This is something where I'm actually paying to represent an event. Okay. Eli Watterson is a young kid. He's about 4 years old. And end of last year, he was diagnosed with a couple of different diseases. One of them is, I think it's SCID or SICD. It's known as Bubble Boy Syndrome. So he went from being a normal three-year-old to being in a hospital since January. And his mother has had to go live with him at the hospital. And this has been all year so far this year. She had to quit her job and go do that. So their dad is at home here trying to work for both of them, basically. And he doesn't get to see them that often. And they're in financial struggle right now. You know, they're trying to make ends meet and they don't have enough coming in anymore. And trying to deal with medical bills and that kind of stuff. The reason I'm engaged with it at this point is I have a friend on Facebook who is helping to put the events together to help raise money for him. And every day, the mom, Lisa, does an update. And she talks about what he's experiencing and what he's going through. And they talk about his breathing, and he has to breathe through a BiPAP. And when they take it off, he feels like he can't breathe and he's struggling. And all of the different diagnoses as they've come in, and how he's reacting to them and how he feels. And if you keep reading that kind of stuff day after day, you start to become attached a little bit, especially when you have your own kid. You start to, your heart goes out to them. You think about what you would do in that situation. And so I just found myself kind of getting wrapped up in that situation. And when they put together this event called Black Tie for Eli, I felt really strongly that I'd like to find a way to help. And so I chose to donate enough money to become a sponsor. But more importantly, hopefully use this show to gain a little bit of awareness. And so over the next few episodes, the event is on August 21st. Over the next few episodes, I'm going to do a couple of interviews with people and just play some clips. I'm not going to take up a bunch of time, but I'm going to play some clips that give you from their words what they've experienced, what it's meant to them, how it's been going on. And I just wanted to share that with you guys and with you in our audience, because this might be something that strikes you as worthwhile or important. And if so, I'd just like to encourage you to check out the website Love for Eli. That's love4eli.com. And it's kind of hard to transition down and up, and I understand that, but truthfully, it was important enough for me to do this that I'm willing to break the flow of the show a little bit to make people aware of it.
Yeah, I was happy to help donate with you too. So
absolutely. All right, so let's get back to the game. We're going into round four.
All right, so for round four, your first question is in arts and literature.
Literature. We ain't got no time for literature. Does it sound like that, kind of?
Yeah, it was good? Pretty close.
All right.
What is Patricia Reichardt better known as in the Peanuts cartoon strips?
Do you want to do it together?
3, 2, 1. Peppermint Patty.
That is correct.
I didn't know she had a last name, actually.
I didn't know either, but there was only one Patricia I was going to guess.
Especially because that's what Marcy calls her.
Patricia?
Yeah.
Oh,
she doesn't say Patty. She calls her Patricia.
That's another one of those strips that I didn't read a lot of.
She called her Sir all the time.
That's what I remember.
Well, it was Sir, but
probably a whole lot of other names that she called her as they got older, but I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
I'm pretty sure it stuck with Sir.
Wow, this is the part where Chris just bangs his head on something hard.
Oh, that was awesome. So your second question in round four is in science and nature.
Science!
Nature! Sorry, well it was done. Next.
No, well done.
Threw him off. How many gigabytes capacity did the first commercially available iPod have?
1.21 gigawatts!
No. How many gigabytes?
Correct.
Chris, you had one of these, didn't you?
Well, I had like the third generation. I mean, yeah.
I wonder if it came out in different flavors. It probably did later.
Flavors.
But this is going to be the initial one.
All right, I'm going to write my answer down. Yeah, I'm locked in. I'm not happy with the answer, but I'm locked in.
I'm not happy either. So, honestly, if you had asked without saying gigabytes, I would have said 756 megabytes or something like that, because I think it's low. So, it's either 1, 2, or 4. And I'm betting that soon after that, they released an 8 and a 16. I remember the big one being 16 in the early days. So, it's either 2 or 4 probably in my mind, and I'm going to go with 4.
Actually, that's the weird part, because my very first one I had was a third generation. It was actually a 30 gig. 4 might be the right answer, I'll be honest. I wrote 8, because I think it was right around that. It was 8. No, it wasn't 16. I think it was either 4 or 8, and the answer is?
Answer is 5.
Oh, wow.
Come on, Apple! Y'all gotta go with a non-standard amount.
I didn't own one, but I remember the commercials saying that this can hold 1,000 songs.
Yeah.
So as I was calculating in my mind, I'm like, okay, let's say the songs back then, I think, were like MP3s, like 4 megs. So 1,000 songs is 4 gigs. So I'm like, oh, so I was guessing 4 gigs like you were. And then I looked at the answer, it was like 5. I felt like, what's the guy's name? Playoffs? What do you mean playoffs?
Jim Mora.
No, that was Dennis Green.
No, that was Jim Mora.
Oh, was that Jim Mora? Oh, okay.
Denny Green was...
They are who we thought they were!
That's right, thank you.
You want to crown them? Crown them! But they are who we thought they were! And we let them out the hook! So, your last question of the round is in sports and leisure. What is the sport of Hilary Swank's character in Million Dollar Baby?
Okay, three, two, one.
Boxing.
That's correct.
MMA. Oh, no!
All right, after the fourth round, it is 80 to 70.
Yeah. I didn't make any ground up on that one because the two that we knew, we both knew.
Sucks. Water sucks. It really, really sucks. All right, so I believe we're in round 5 now.
We are going into round 5.
Round 5.
All right, so your first question in round 5 is geography.
Geography.
What is mainland Europe's northernmost capital?
Okay, I wrote mine down.
It's going to be a Scandinavian country. Great Britain, Scotland, Ireland, all of that doesn't count because it's not part of mainland Europe. Scandinavia does. It is part of mainland Europe. It goes around. It's a peninsula. And up there you have Finland, Sweden, and Norway. And I think the capital of Sweden is Helsinki. And I think that's what I'm going to go with. I think I'm going to say Helsinki.
Okay. I went with Copenhagen.
Correct answer is Helsinki.
Nice job.
Yes. Copenhagen is actually in Denmark, right?
Yeah.
And Denmark isn't part of the peninsula.
Oh, okay.
It's on top of Germany on the bottom section, and then you go across a sea to get up to the peninsula.
Helsinki's actually the capital of Finland. So you got the answer right, but it's the wrong. You had the wrong country.
Seriously?
Sweden is Stockholm.
That's right.
Helsinki.
That's right.
Finland, Norway is Oslo, I believe.
Wow.
So, yeah. There you go.
I can't believe I picked the wrong country, but still got the right city.
I can't believe it is butter.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So, your next question in the fifth round is in entertainment. What are Tinky Winky, Dipsy, Lala, and Poe collectively called?
Three.
Actually, hold on. Yeah, hold on. Because I have an answer in my head, but it's the wrong one. I'm trying to.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Three, two, one.
Teletubbies. That's correct.
Okay, because the Wiggles got stuck in my head for a second. I was like, no, get away, get away.
You were scaring me first. I was like, really? I'm going to have to write this down? It's the one with the purse, dude.
I don't want to write the Teletubbies down. I don't want to.
Actually, I don't have enough paper over here. I'm kind of scrounging for scraps right now.
Do you need paper?
I have it. It's just irritating to use. How about that?
Okay.
I know that sounds stupid. I'm also writing with a Sharpie that's running out of ink. It's just all bad right now.
I have pen over here if you need one. I'm very frustrated, though, that all the entertainment questions have been freaking easy out of this book, because usually that's where I get my mojo getting closer to you, and I can't do it right now.
I have noticed that the entertainment questions have been doable for me in this game.
They've been so easy.
All right. The last question of round five is going to be in history.
History.
Who did Mehmet Ali Agca attempt to assassinate in 1981?
All right. Omar Gaddafi comes to mind, but that's not it. I think it's an Israeli, even though Indira Gandhi keeps coming into my head for some reason. Dang it, I can't remember this lady's name. It's the Prime Minister of Israel, and I cannot remember their name. Yeah, I'm going to say Indira Gandhi.
Okay. I think the name you're going for is probably Golda Meir.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
I didn't know the guy's name that you mentioned in the question, so I went strictly by date, and the only leader that I remember getting shot in 1981 was Ronald Reagan. So I said Ronald Reagan.
No, that was William Hinckley that shot at him.
Yeah, well, then I would be wrong.
The correct answer is Pope John Paul II.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I didn't know about that at all.
Yeah.
You knew the name for the guy of Reagan. I didn't know that guy's name. Yeah. I stuck on Sirhan Sirhan, but I was like, I think that's Robert Kennedy. I didn't know Reagan's person.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was Robert Kennedy.
So Pope John Paul.
Yeah, I forgot all about that because, like, when they did all the retrospects when he died, I mean, that was one of the things they talked about. Wow. Dang it.
It is 180 after the fifth round.
Okay.
Respectable scores. You know what's funny is these questions are either easy or difficult. I haven't seen an in-between. Yeah. It's interesting. They're not bad, though. They're pretty scattered.
All right, so we're in round six now, right?
Round six.
All right, first question in round six is in arts and literature.
All right.
All right. What was the sequel to Little Women?
Big Women by John Paul Rubens. Come on now.
W-O-W.
Is that guy's name was John Paul Rubens, right? Somebody Rubens. Rubenesque.
Paul Rubens is Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, you're right. Rubens is a famous artist who did Big Ladies.
Oh, okay.
That's Ruben why Rubenesque. Stutter that's where Rubenesque.
American Idol.
I don't know if it's a sequel or not, truthfully, but I know she did a book called Little Men, so I'm going with Little Men.
Yeah, that was my answer, Little Men.
The answer is Good Wives.
Hmm.
That's awkward.
You know what's funny is that I don't think that was in either of our heads at all.
Not one bit.
Never heard of that one.
I guess Little Men too.
Did you?
Yeah. I was like, and I only know that from In Living Color when they did that one skit. I think it was Men on Books.
Oh, jeez. Like,
Little Women hated it. Little Men hated it. Antoine Meriwether and Lewis something. Those were their names.
That was. Oh, who was it? Was
David Alan Greer and Tommy Davidson?
Was it Tommy Davidson?
No, it was
Damon Wayans.
Damon Wayans.
Damon
Wayans, because he was the one that was bald and had a little curl coming. Oh man, you talk about one of the greatest TV shows of all time. All right, your second question in round six is in science and nature.
Science, nature.
I knew that was coming.
What do whales feed their young?
More whales. All right, I've written down an answer.
Okay. I'm going to say it's milk.
They're mammals, so I said milk.
Answer is milk.
You can try to make it as complicated as you want to, but sometimes it is the answer.
That was the same thing with the hippopotamuses from a couple of weeks ago. It's like, hey, calves.
Yeah. I mean, and that's actually a good point with anybody playing trivia. Sometimes the most obvious answer is actually the answer. Don't try to read too much into it.
That's right.
Or if you play game theory.
and just in general, mammals have similar characteristics across the species, the different species. They're all either pups or calves, and they're all milk, and they all have fur. There you go.
You and me, baby, we ain't nothing but mammals.
Wow. Finish the line.
No. I'm not going to do it. You can't make me.
Wouldn't be prudent.
Right. Well done.
All right, your last question of the round is in sports and leisure.
Leisure.
Who beat France 5-3 after a penalty shootout to win the 2006 World Cup?
Who beat France 5-3 penalty kicks in 2006 for the World Cup?
All right, my answer's locked in. I don't know if it's right, but it's locked in.
You're locked in?
I'm locked in.
Okay. I wish I could remember the host.
It's Ben.
Yes, they played the World Cup in Ben.
I can guarantee you that never happened.
Would have been too hot.
By the way, this is our second World Cup question today, folks. So anybody that says we do not ask European football or soccer questions, yeah, be quiet.
Do you know where the word soccer came from?
Soccer to me?
Association football. Soccer was a shortening of the word association.
Huh.
Wow.
Yes.
Is that confirmable?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was an English league called association.
Interesting.
Football. Okay, so I can talk.
Talk.
Really struggling. So Brazil has won the most, and that would be a fair guess. I believe England has won one in the not-too-distant past that was hosted in England. They won on their home turf. Germany pops into mind because they've typically had good teams. Italy and Argentina are the other two that jump into my mind. I don't want to say Brazil. I'm going to guess Germany.
Germany won the past one, which was last year. And then I believe it was Brazil won the year before. And the answer that I have is Italy.
Correct answer is Italy.
Nice.
Nice job, Chris.
That was terrific.
Whew. Well done. Well, that was a big one for you.
Yeah, I needed it.
Okay, that was the end of the sixth round. And the score is 110 for Jonathan to 100 for Chris.
Man, all right.
Tight game.
You gentlemen ready for your final question category?
Actually, yeah, what's the category?
I hope it's not more Huxtables.
That was Bobby McFerrin, by the way.
Nice. That makes sense.
Really?
Yeah.
No instruments. All right, so your final question category is sci-fi / fantasy novels.
Ooh. It's Jell-O Pudding Pops.
Sci-fi fantasy novel.
Oh, wow. My gosh. This is going to be a hard bet to make. So I have to make a decision if I'm betting or if I'm going zero. And this is a hard decision. I've lost two in a row on the final question, and one of them was because I bet poorly. All right, my bet is in.
My bet is in.
All right. Here's your question. Put the following novelists in order of their year of birth.
Ooh.
From earliest to latest.
Okay.
And your choices are Isaac Asimov, J.R.R. Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, George Orwell.
Wow. Again, I love this question, but dadgummit.
I chose poorly. Dang it. I thought this was going to be about the books themselves, not about the authors. Dang it. You locked in?
I'm locked in.
Lewis and Tolkien were friends. They were like besties.
Yeah.
I think Tolkien was born in the late 1800s, but that doesn't... No, because he was in World War II.
It's questions like this where I really hate being behind. I really hate being behind.
I'm going to miss this so badly.
You might not.
I have faith in you, Jonathan. He takes it so seriously.
Why so serious?
Nice.
All right, I'm locked in.
All right.
I hate this.
Okay, so my answer is I went with C.S. Lewis 1, Tolkien 2, George Orwell 3, and then Asimov 4.
And I went Tolkien 1, C.S. Lewis 2, Asimov 3, and Orwell 4.
All right.
All right, so here's the correct order. 1892, J.R.R. Tolkien. 1898, C.S. Lewis. 1903, George Orwell.
Ah, dadgummit!
In 1920, Isaac Asimov.
Dadgummit!
Man, wow.
So I think you both missed that one.
I was right on 3 and 4, and Jonathan was right in 1 and 2. So if we merged our powers together for good, we would have been right. So how much did you bet, Jonathan?
90.
I bet zero, kids!
Wow.
Boom!
He used your power against you, Jonathan.
Woo! I figured I would rather lose with 100 points than try to bet all of it and lose with zero, because that was just too tough.
Oh, Chris has gotten a nice winning streak lately. He is really getting me at the end of these games lately.
Gotta get that boom, boom, boom. Gotta get that boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. That boom,
boom, boom. So frustrating.
I mean, it's funny because I played pub trivia on Thursday night, and our team name was Last Question Losers. And today, I'm a Last Question Winner, baby!
You know what's...
Woo!
What's funny is, if I had been conservative, I would have won two of the last three by going zero. And the one time that I was conservative, I lost because he got it right.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, man. Good job.
Thanks.
Props to you, dude. You've been doing great. One thing that I hope people appreciate about the show, truthfully, is that we don't fake it when it comes to getting things right and wrong.
No.
There's no editing or cleaning stuff up or changing answers or trying to make ourselves look good. It is straight up, you either look good or you don't, and it's up to how well you play, you know?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get down to the end of the show here. So we have a Warhead of the Week.
Okay.
Our Warhead of the Week is Mr. Kellum Sowers. Now, Kel Sowers is a friend of ours. He's a history teacher, and he's been your friend for a long time. Actually, you got to spend some time with him the other day.
That's right. Last Friday, he and I were hanging out and everything like that. And I sometimes get a little gassy, you know, as guys do. And so I got on his lap and everything like that.
Was this like a sneak attack, or did you just plop down on top of him?
Oh no, I just plopped down on him. I just absolutely.
He's just walking
down.
By.
He was like, what in the world? Oh, absolutely. And he's like, what in the world? And I just went, just blow a massive fart on him and everything like that. And Sarah, his wife, is just like, thank you. Now you know how I feel. it was great stuff. So
Kel, as soon as Chris told that story today, I said, we've got to get that on the air.
So, thank you to our Warhead of the Week, Kellum Sowers. I hope you didn't mind us embarrassing you. But honestly, Kel does not have an embarrassed bone in his body.
Actually, we love Kel. Kel's a great guy.
Yes, he is.
Also, we had a new review on iTunes. This review came in from Nick Suberling. Nick is a podcaster like we are.
Nice.
And so here's what he had to say. He said he started listening to the show and immediately got angry with himself for not creating something just like this before we did.
For the win!
Yes, he said that he loves us as hosts, and we really do recreate the experience of playing in the pub. He loves the format, and he said if this is if you're a trivia fan, this is the show for you.
Nice.
So we really appreciate that, Nick. Now, that's coming from another podcaster, so, I mean, I feel a little validation there, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, hey, if he wants to come up with some questions and ask us, we're all in.
So, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. So, really quick, just so you guys know, you can check him out. He does a Cincinnati Bengals podcast, and I know we have some Ohio listeners, so it might be worth checking out. He's over at cincyjungle.com, and his show is called Inside the Jungle.
Nice.
So check out Inside the Jungle, especially if you're a Bengals fan. And I'm going back and forth with Nick. I'm trying to see what we can do to do a show together.
Fantastic.
So maybe in the next month or two, we'll see some fruit from that.
Well, thank you very much, Nick. We appreciate it, man.
We absolutely do. All right, the last piece of big news before we wrap this up. I don't know if you guys saw. I believe you did, but our app is out on the Google Play Store. Very exciting news. If you're an Android user, you can go to the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Market to download Trivial Warfare. If you search for the word trivial, we're going to be one of the first things that pops up. Stroke my ego a little bit. Even if you're going to listen through Podcatcher or one of those other services, go ahead and download the app. Make me feel good. Right now I look out there and it says 2 downloads. I'm like, oh.
Podcatcher!
Go download the app. I'll appreciate it. All right. Other than that, I think that is the end of the show. Chris, why don't you take us out of here?
Ben, thanks again. Great job as always.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Jonathan, way to tank that last question for me. I really appreciate it.
You are so beating me lately.
Anyway, I really am. Three in a row, baby. I've never done three in a row before until now. So, again, you can contact us at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Please send us in a question. We will ask it on the show.
We like listener interaction.
Exactly. So, until next time, that's Ben. That's Jonathan. I'm Chris. This is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia. It's war. Bye, guys.
Deuces.
Welcome back to the song that never ends. Oh, man, I just messed that up.
You want to say it again?
Welcome, yeah. Anyway, Ben, welcome back, my friend, to the story that never ends. Dang it, what's the line for the never
ends? This is the song that never ends?
No, it's welcome back, my friend, to the... Is it the song that never ends?
The song that never ends is Barney.
Oh.